Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading My Mom Took In My Cousin, But There's Something Wrong With Him. This is by Retaculous from Reddit. I hope you enjoy it and stick around to the end where I ramble on about Discord and liking the video as most YouTubers do. Until then, I hope you enjoy this story. Whenever my mom spoke of my grandfather, she just told me he was a sick bastard who cared more about alcohol than he did his family. The irony that she only told me this, when she herself had a few too many, wasn't lost on me. It made me wonder, was being messed up some kind of inheritance, carefully preserved and passed down? Whatever it was, fate, inheritance, just plain dumb genetics, it didn't spare my aunt either. I got the gist of her death, cirrhosis, a night comforting herself in the only way she probably knew, a car accident, and then, well. My cousin Liam moved in with us shortly afterwards. He was small and pale with a lazy eye. Mom wasn't too excited about getting another mouth to feed, which I thought was rich. I'd been living off of school breakfasts and lunch for the past year, none of which she had paid for. I wasn't too excited either, because Mom had made it clear that he'd be sharing my bedroom with me. What teenage girl is excited of a four-year-old roommate? It wasn't that there was much of an alternative, though. Our trailer was tiny, and putting him in the living room would mean that my mother would have to give up her late-night TV. He'd only brought a small backpack, with a change of clothes that looked like they hadn't fit him for months. I knew my mom wasn't going to do anything for him, so I took him to the Goodwill down the street, and spent the money I'd scraped up working part-time at the nursing home. I tried not to think how many bedpans I'd emptied for the money, as I held up tiny shirts to his torso. He stared at me, well, either at me or the mannequin behind me. I couldn't tell which eye was the dominant eye yet. The fitting rooms have been closed permanently, so I just eyed the bottoms as well as I could and checked. The cashier cooed over him, and when I complained about the clothes maybe not fitting, whispered that I could run home and try them. If they don't fit, come back before I'm off and I'll give you a refund. Plastic bags jostling my legs, I hustled us back home, practically dragging him behind me. His hand was limp in my grip, and I kept glancing over my shoulder to make sure he was okay. It was then that I realized that I hadn't heard him talk yet. I don't have a ton of experience with little kids. Nursing home and high school are pretty much the only places I go besides home. But that's not normal, right? My mom was in the living room, talking loudly on the phone, so I led him into our room, and emptied the bags. Here, get changed. He watched me blankly, and I sighed, leaning over to help. I froze when I saw his arms. Look, I'm not going to get explicit. The last thing I want is some creep reading this who gets off on the thought of kids getting hurt. All I'm going to say is that someone had been hurting this kid. I dropped his arms, staring at him. He looked back blankly and I stormed out to yell at my mom. Logically, I knew that this wasn't her fault. It was her sister's, either for doing it or allowing it. But she was dead and my mom was the closest person that I could blame. We devolved into a screaming competition. I called her sister a bitch and we went from there, with her telling me that I didn't know what had haunted her sister in life. By the time I went to the room, I knew for sure the girl was off her shift, and it didn't really matter if the clothes fit or not. He'd grow into them, because I was going to make sure he got fed. Nothing was going to hurt this kid ever again. I bandaged him up, fed him fish and sticks for dinner, and got him into bed before I had to take off for work. I don't know much about parenting, but if our relatives are what doom us, then I wasn't going to be another mark against him. My mother was passed out on the couch when I got home, but I didn't worry about waking her. Gabriel and his horn couldn't wake my mother after she was through drinking on a bad day. Rolling my eyes, I headed for the bathroom, pausing when I noticed that the door to my room was open. I closed it as I passed. No need to wake the kiddo. I wondered if my mom had checked in on him, and then almost laughed. Yeah, right. I started noticing that stuff was off the next couple of days. Doors were open, things in my room, even things that he couldn't reach had been moved. One night I came in to find my blinds had been torn down and the window open. There was no way he was strong enough to do that, so I just assumed my mother had, in a drunken fit, tried to air out the house. That's what I told myself anyways, but I didn't really believe it. My mother had never decided to try and do anything useful while drunk, even if it failed. It wasn't until the weekend when I had time to help the kid take a bath that I realized that the wounds weren't healing. In fact, he had more. The tub kept filling and almost overflowed before I caught myself and turned it off. What was going on here? My mother was awful, sure, but she'd never hurt a kid, at least not knowingly. I'd been around the kid all other hours of the day except for when I was at work. My next thought was that he had been doing this to himself, to cope with losing his mom, and I'm sure was a crappy childhood. Still, it didn't make sense. He didn't have access to knives, and I don't think he could have cut up his own back. I toweled him off and rebandaged him, called in sick to work. It hurt saying goodbye to hours I'd fought so hard for, but this was more important. He still didn't talk, but I tried, squatting down to his level, asking him who was hurting him. He didn't answer, still staring off behind me, and I gave up. Helping him brush his teeth, I put him to bed, but left the bedroom door open. Mom was off somewhere, probably trying to get drunk, get a man or both, so for once the TV was off. I made myself comfortable in the living room and started painting my nails. I'd only done my index finger when I heard the door to my bedroom creak shut. I stood up, putting the brush back in the bottle and went to check. The room was still and dark, but for the lights from the gas station across the road, it took me a moment to see Liam, but he was huddled under the blankets in the little bed I'd made up for him, just as I'd left him. Maybe a draft had blown the door shut. I wedged it open with a dirty uniform and went back to the table. I'd barely done another two fingers when I heard the door close again. This time I was faster, rushing to the door and flinging it open, but again, nothing. I noticed then that Liam was shaking underneath the blankets. I knew he couldn't be the one closing the door. There was no way he'd closed the door and made it back under the covers that fast. Liam? I squatted down next to him. Hey, what's going on? He didn't answer, and I pulled back the blankets with my polish-free hand. I gave up the idea of keeping my manicure intact, though, as he started screaming and thrashing. Whoa! Whoa, Liam, it's me! He stopped screaming when he finally saw that it was me, and stared, eyes wide, chest heaving. He looked so little in his two big Paw Patrol pajamas that my heart thumped painfully. Who would hurt him? Hey, buddy, what's going on? I sat down, crisscrossing my legs. He shifted his gaze to behind me and I glanced back surreptitiously. Nothing but the yellow light from the living room. Wait, there was something else. There, right behind me, something was pressing into the carpet. Couldn't see what it was, only the indents in the shag where something was standing. I stopped breathing and mechanically turned around. Let's get you a late night snack, okay? It was hard for me to pick up, but I managed it, not even looking back as I carried him out of the room. I closed the door right behind me, trying to seem normal about it, like I hadn't noticed what was in there. I held him close as I hurried to the kitchen, and I could feel his little heart beating through his chest. What the heck was that, and why was it hurting him? I made silly faces as I mixed powdered milk with water, but my mind was racing. I remembered Mom had talked about her father, and the deal with the devil that killed him, more than once. But I always figured she was just talking about how he'd drunk himself to an early grave. Maybe not, though. Maybe she'd meant something much more literal. I had no way of contacting her. She was probably too drunk to tell a coherent story wherever she was, anyways. What else should I do? Call a priest? That idea seemed best, so I gave it a go while he drank his milk obediently. But when I called the local church, all I got was an answering machine. I thought about the police, but dismissed it. When they saw how beat up he was, he'd be taken away for sure. And I knew that, whatever that thing was, it would follow him. What else? What else? A quick Google search revealed that there were as many ways to deal with a monster as there were horror stories. But how could I tell which one worked, if any did? Salt seemed to be a common defense, so I wrenched open the drawer next to the sink. We didn't have salt, really, but I always grabbed lots of packets when my old folks didn't want them. It saved money, even if it was just a little bit. I started ripping open yellow salt packets, dumping salt on the ground, scattering it on the counter around Liam. He watched me, milk mustache drying. I smiled tensely. I'm just trying something, buddy. There was a creak. And despite myself, I turned to watch my bedroom door swing open. It looked perfectly natural and my stomach twisted. How many times had I come home to doors open that I knew I had left closed? How many times had this poor baby been hurt, hiding under the blankets, alone with no one but my intoxicated mother to protect him? I turned back to see that his gaze was fixed firmly on something I couldn't see, mouth slightly open. He was starting to shiver and I picked him up again, handing him a salt packet for luck. I watched the salt carefully. The white grains stood out starkly in comparison to the dark linoleum, and I could see, clearly, that there was something brushing up against the edges, but not moving forward. I breathed a sigh of relief. And they were brushed aside as whatever it was began moving through them. This may sound dumb, but I wasn't too sure what else to do. None of the doors in the trailer were strong enough to keep out a toddler, so I couldn't barricade ourselves in. Holding Liam close, I fled the house. Mom had taken the car so we couldn't drive off, or even lock ourselves in it. The gas station was closed except for the pumps, as was everything else. I ran as fast as I dared in my flip-flops, not daring to look away from my feet. "If you see that thing, you have to tell me," I told Liam, voice shaky as I gasped for air. He tightened his arms around my neck, head swiveling against my shoulder. "I see a lot of them." It was the first time he'd spoken, and I'd almost dropped him. How many? He didn't answer, just held me tighter. I didn't know where to go. I just kept moving, hoping that I could stay ahead, that we wouldn't get surrounded. Face pressed against me, Liam began making a soft keening sound. He thought we were doomed. Ahead there were lights, and I realized that I hadn't been paying any attention to where we were going. I'd just run, and now we were approaching the Target parking lot. In the light, though, I could see movement in the dirt on the sidewalk ahead of me. I paused and looked back. There was something there, too. I didn't think I could climb the chainmail fence on my other side, meaning that what I had feared had happened. I clutched Liam close and squatted down like I could fully shield him. I wasn't a good mother figure. I didn't read with Liam. I had no idea if he knew his colors, and he'd just spoken to me for the first time. I didn't know how to take care of anyone besides myself, and I couldn't keep him safe. I realized something as I held him. These creatures had never bothered my mother, and my aunt had died from a car crash. In all likelihood, if I left Liam, they'd leave me alone too. They only wanted him. Back when I was younger, I'd had a neighbor who'd looked out for me when Mom was too hammered to know or care where her daughter was. The neighbor had told me stories about how in the Bible, when parents sinned, it was held against their kids. But then Jesus had set people straight, because kids weren't supposed to be blamed for their parents' sins. It's just that they were often a casualty. Like me and my bad luck inheritance, like Liam with his inherited demons, neither of us had ever done anything wrong, and yet we were still doomed by the narrative. But I wasn't going to sacrifice him. "I'm so sorry I can't protect you," I whispered against the back of his head, and he didn't answer. I don't know if he believed in miracles or not. Frankly, I don't care. What happened next was a miracle, and nothing else. A white light washed the area, and I saw them then, the creatures that had followed us. My stomach twisted when I saw how many of them there were. Grotesquely twisted carcasses, skeletons impossibly elongated, faces little more than gaping maws. There was a sound like a bell, and the light faded, but I could still see them. The light hadn't completely faded, haloing the ground next to my feet, and I looked down, seeing for the first time a tire iron wedged in between the concrete and fence. I put Liam down, untangled his arms, and hoisted the iron. It felt warm against my palm, and I turned, keeping Liam behind me. The creatures weren't fast. They didn't need to be. Already our circle was shrinking, but I am not my mother, and I am not my family. I would rather die fighting than hide. I have to patch myself up several times a week. Whatever they are, they don't come out during the day. I've moved my shifts so I don't work in the daylight on weekends. Not that summer is over. Liam is growing and talking more. His cuts are all finally healed up, but he has some pretty gnarly scars. Mom has a new boyfriend, but as long as she keeps paying the bills, I frankly don't care what she does. I sleep with a baseball bat by my bed and bells on my door and windows. I guess I'm writing this to say, even if you feel doomed, you're not. You might have to fight like hell, But hey, we are not our parents. Their deals with the devil? Their problem, not ours. Good luck. And if you see footprints behind you, run. I hope you enjoyed this story. If you did, let me know in the comments wherever you can. If you're on YouTube, I would love it if you'd subscribe or like the video, because YouTube be tanking us at time of recording. So maybe we can tell them that, hey, these stories aren't terrible. Come on. And, you know, we can stick up a fist and shout for the algorithm as we go about our day. Because, I mean, well, this is just a story. But I appreciate you for listening wherever you are. And thank you very much for choosing this one. If you'd like to support the channel even more, you can do so on Patreon, where there is early access and a little exclusive podcast that I try to do every now and then. And if you'd like to come hang out with who is arguably the coolest people on the planet, well, there's a Discord for that, and I am also there, so what you doing? Anyways, I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.